everybody. Welcome to Monsters Lounge.
Hello.
It's me, Jenny.
It's me, Tressa. Hi.
Hooray.
Yay.
Tressa.
Oh, Jenny, are you excited?
I am. I'm excited and I'm nervous. I feel like I'm just going to sound like an idiot all night, but that's all right. I'll be okay with it. I think I'll manage.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. Probably. So here's why I'm so excited. A little while ago, I saw a couple of really great movies, and tonight we
was
have
it Three Men and a Baby?
It was Three Men and a Baby,
the
and Three Men and a
Men
Baby
and a Little
too.
Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I forgot that's what it was called.
Jenny.
I know. Sorry, it's been a while.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. We have the co-producers of the Flash of Beauty documentaries.
What?
So, I know. We
that's
have,
amazing.
I know. We have Tobe Johnson and Brett Eichenberg.
Which
Here
is, they
I don't
are.
Know why I got real quiet
I,
on that
I
one.
I felt like we needed to bring them in. Hello.
Yeah, you really did.
Yay,
right?
Yeah.
So the surprise. Yeah, there we go. Surprise, everybody. They're right here.
Greetings from a Fairfield Inn in Burley, Idaho.
Oh, lucky you.
Nice to meet everyone.
Yeah, it's you fantastic well. To meet you. Like I said, I'm very excited about this one. Absolutely adored the movies, first of all. I just ordered The Owl Moon Lab, which you are the author of, Tobe.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about reading that one. I ordered another book from the paranormal, and you guys don't. It's totally
yeah,
fine.
Tell us her
totally fine.
Book order.
And, yeah.
Was it Three Men and a Baby, the book?
It was.
It's well, okay. The novelization is yeah. so good.
It's like it's a like, live-action version with Steve Gutenberg, I think, is in it.
Yeah, there's a little pull tab, and you can see him pushing.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
With the cardboard cutout in the window
I
that
totally
everyone thinks is a ghost.
The ghost.
And if you don't think, I mean, that's a paranormal movie because it's got a ghost in it. So you guys actually know that story, right? We'll talk about it later.
That should Thank just God. Lead off every show is just a discussion of Three Men and a Baby.
Right.
That specific movie. You guys are all over the place here. Decades of research and your own experiences, Tobe, investigating the relationship of Sasquatch and the paranormal. Like I said, co-producers of Flash of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed, and Paranormal Bigfoot. And then Brett, all over the place with the filmmaking. 25 years of experience, film and video production industry, feature films like Light of Mine, Pretty Broken, commercial short films, music videos, and documentary shorts. Amazing. And you guys are both in a beautiful area of the country.
Yeah.
Right? Pacific yeah. Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
And yeah. Jenny's on her way to the Ho Forest. Spoiler
yeah.
alert.
Yeah.
Summer.
We're very, very excited about this because we're leaving the Midwest and heading up to Portland and also Washington.
Oh, that's where I live. I'm just about 45 minutes outside of the Ho.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Can we get your exact address so we can
right.
stop by?
Yes.
Just to say hi.
333 Ho okay. Road.
Perfect.
Got it.
Perfect.
Done. All right.
So both of you have been intrigued by Sasquatch for years, right? This comes from childhood, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Have both of you had your own personal experiences?
Yes.
Tobe said more.
Well, Brett's on his way. I mean, once you start looking at this stuff, it kind of looks back at you, as they say, right? And so Brett's been on the trail of this hot and heavy for the last 3 years. So I've just been doing it longer. And so if you go up to the Ho Rainforest, you'll see lots of evidence of them around by way of bumper stickers and whatnot. But it's more than bumper stickers, folks.
Oh, do they do that thing where you go to a tourist trap and they accidentally put a bumper sticker on your car when you're not looking?
Oh, I've done that before. I've been that guy.
Bigfoot, come
right.
on.
We may or may not be trying to sticker the Southwest over the next week with stickers.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I mean, we totally wouldn't want to help out in the Midwest any place if there were some, say, movie stickers or something
we'll get you some.
That you'd want to send over.
We'll get,
wouldn't
we'll
be us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every Taco Bell drive-thru window will have one, I promise
yes.
you.
Yes.
You do eat a lot.
Burrito.
The paranormal is normal.
Yes.
Because it is.
Yep.
I just broke the ice.
Thank you. Yeah. Somebody had to.
Yeah.
Very much so. So, Brett, what was your experience?
Well, I haven't seen one full figured, but I've seen Iglo.
Oh,
which is different than eyeshine. Eyeshine is when the back of the eyeballs reflects back at you when you shine a flashlight. I've actually mm-hmm. seen the eyes glow. And I have a photo. I took a photo. I only got one eye, which is odd, but it's unmistakably an eye. And you can see it's like an almond, kind of an almond shape. It's glowing red. It's a very odd glow. And this is something I witnessed with cinematographer Mike Ferry and Jill Rimmensnyder, producer of the film. And we were in Nebraska. We were there by invitation of some Native American friends. And we sat there and watched them. Their eyes would kind of slowly change color. And if I, you know, it's one of those things where you sit and you stare at and you try and debunk, and then you can't, and you're not really sure what you're looking at. And then the next day you visit the spot again, you're like, okay, how did they do that? And then I was going through it was pitch black. I was going through the footage the next day. Actually, I was going through the footage on the plane, the photos and stuff I took, and I saw, I was like, okay, I'm gonna pop into this shot, and I zoomed into it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a perfect eye. It's the shape, it's everything. It closes, it opens. It's in a Flashy Beauty Paranormal Bigfoot. You'll see it in there. And he must have been like, there must have been a branch obscuring the other eye or something. That's why I only got one. But it's unmistakable. And I shot it with my own camera. And that same trip, we were bluff charged by one. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you're like, what was that, a deer? Was it an elk? And you got to remind yourself you're in Nebraska. There's no bears or anything like that. And you could hear that it was bipedal. But it doesn't really, at least for me, it didn't sink in until like a couple of minutes after it happened. Mm-hmm. And it starts to sink in. And so there was that. And then random wood knocks. I mean, I was in the Al Moon. Tobe wasn't there at that time, but I was in the Al Moon with Jill and a friend. And I was doing wood knocks and nothing was happening. And then finally, after maybe like the 15th wood knock, I got an unmistakable response that sent shivers up my spine. And it was a total like, hey, shut up kind of. Yeah, it was loud and it sounded like a Louisville slugger. There's a distinct kind of wood cracking sound that it makes. It's not like you instantly know that it's not a gunshot or anything else. And there's nobody out there. I mean, we were alone.
Right.
You know. And it was just kind of whoa, this wave kind of just goes through your body when you know what you're hearing.
Well, listening to the recordings, like especially like the Ron Moorhead recordings and a lot of them, you know, like it sounds terrifying, but I'm listening to them from the comfort of my living room,
mm-hmm.
right? And I have no idea what sort of primal feeling that would bring up. I mean, they're incredible just to listen to them, and I highly recommend anybody just go Google and start listening to this stuff. But I can only imagine what it's like in person.
Well, yeah, and that's a big component of our first film is it's easy to be kind of an armchair researcher, you know, mm-hmm. and that's... Those are primarily your trolls that are out there going, oh, Bigfoot does this. I've been out in the woods, you know. No, it doesn't work like that because when you see one that's unmistakably a giant humanoid, your mind really can't comprehend it at the moment in time. And people forget that we have a reptilian brain that is very much primordial, that is very much fight or flight, that's very much like, it clicks in only a few times in our lives, you know, when we're about to get like in a car accident or somebody's coming at us and we need to defend ourselves. That same, you know, or even when you do see a wild animal in the woods and you know that you don't have a lot of fight in you, it's that same kind of thing that clicks and you go into this mode where you're like, what is this? What is this? And you're trying to kind of like figure out and feel out, is this thing going to kill me right now? And where do I go? How do I escape? How do I get away? And the other part of it is that you're looking at something that shouldn't exist. So it's not like you've seen, you know, you've seen bears your entire life and you kind of, there's a predictability about its behavior to a certain extent, but Bigfoot's a totally different thing. You know, it's like that famous line in Star Wars where Han Solo looks over at Chewie and says, he's been known to rip people's arms right out of their sockets. That's exactly what these things can do if they want.
Oh, sure.
By looking at them. And so,
of course.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying they have. I've never heard any stories of that. But they have that kind of build and that kind of power that just kind of paralyzes you. And a lot of people are paralyzed in fear. And it's so frightful. They just don't know what to do, say, think, or whatever because of what they're seeing, what they're witnessing. And that leaves them with some sort of a post-traumatic stress disorder. Depending on the individual, it's either mass, you know, really, really strong, or it's not as strong. It's just something that, that really rattles them. You know what I mean? It just depends on who you're dealing with or what the situation was.
There seems to be a lot of similarities in everybody that we talk to. You know, we were talking, we have talked to a few of the UFO guys, and they talk about the complete perspective shift when something like this occurs, and when people report experiencing things, how it just completely alters like your worldview and reframes stuff, and how important it is to be able to talk about it and then get support from it. From a lot of the people that you've talked to, especially in Paranormal Bigfoot, where you get into a little bit more of the not being able to understand really what you're seeing, you know, are people finding support? Is this sort of cathartic for them to talk about, like in the documentaries and in the interviews, that kind of thing?
Oh my goodness, yes. It's therapeutic for these people. A lot of these people, after they've had their initial experience or sighting, they won't even tell their spouse.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they're just afraid. They're just so afraid of ridicule. And we've had dozens of people tell us, you know, wow, that felt good to kind of get out there and get off my chest. And other people that have had these experiences, the first thing they do when they get back home is they go on Google and they look for other people. They want to know that they're not alone. They want to know that they're not crazy. You know, I think it was Rick Taylor. It was one of our interview subjects had had some mind speak. And their first inclination was to literally go and sit with a psychiatrist and just be like, okay, I'm not crazy. I was hearing voices in my head. There's that fear that, you know, maybe you've got some sort of debilitating disease where you're hearing voices, or some sort of psychiatric disease or something like that. I mean, it's very scary, especially when something is in your head. I mean, that's quite the invasion of your personal space, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
You know,
ultimate invasion.
I've had some, I like people in there.
Yeah, it's like, no, that's not yours to get into. You know what I mean? And I've had like lucid, weird dreams that feel like messages, and it's kind of invasive. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a huge psychological component that people aren't talking about. And the other component to that is these people are like, well, I don't believe in Bigfoot. And you're like, watch this guy, listen to this guy. Do you think this guy would make this up? To be ridiculed, to be laughed at, to, you know what I mean? You really think that people are making these things up for attention? It just does. Some people do, of course they do. And some people want attention. But that's, in my opinion, that's a small percentage of the people that have had these experiences.
And I feel like just listening to those people that are making it up and trying to get attention are fairly easy to pick out from the traumatized people that don't necessarily want to talk about it, but feel like they need to get it out of their brains. Need to get somebody to listen to them.
Yeah. We're trying to provide a safe space for people to talk about it openly, outwardly. So we can start of, as a humanity, slowly but surely start getting used to some of the stuff that is coming, that some of the stuff that is actually around us. I mean, we are completely in the dark as to what is out there in the universe and in nature, and what may be within a few hundred feet from us at all times in our lives. We have no idea.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We talk about stigma a lot, like on the show, and having people have this sort of audience and platform to be able to share their experiences. You know, I don't know. I never know. I don't know what you saw. I don't know the situations, you know. I've had like maybe one paranormal experience, and that's a maybe. I, you know, so get rid of it. Just keep talking about stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Especially stuff that we don't understand, because you guys get into some of those, I don't know if it's like murkier waters, but maybe more into the amount of things that we don't understand, right? Like, I will not lie to you. I bought my very first physics type book after watching Paranormal Bigfoot.
Wow.
Because you guys actually start talking about quantum physics. And then I'm like, oh my God, I could totally, how did they not teach this in school with Bigfoot? So that I personally would be more interested. I know you guys get into that. Can you sort of tell me maybe how you guys started to think along those lines?
Well, I'll take it, and Brett, I'll pass it off to you. It is murky areas. You said, you know, these are murky gray areas, and the paranormal seems to flirt with these liminal spots when we're in these liminal positions. a lot of people talk about transitions in life or transition in jobs and moving from house to house. Those areas of transition, these murky times, it seems that's kind of the gateway for this phenomena to come in and kind of see if you want to entertain it or have, you know, entertain you. And those kind of initiations with Bigfoot are just the same. You can have an initial sighting. Most people that have a sighting never talk about it again. They may make a immediate proclamation, and that sting, that bitterness of being shot down and humiliated by your fellow man is just so obliterating, especially if it's a spouse, right, or a brother, and they never talk about it again. They may show up at a bar and, you know, confide in somebody, but for the most part, they never talk about it again. So that's one class of witness. But then you have people like me that get consumed by the fact that it's real and that you can have multiple encounters. The only way that we can have these multiple encounters with this and us not figure it out by now, because, you know, the Gigantopithecus theory that existed back in the 80s and 90s now is called the relic hominid theory. So they've gone from animal to human type. But it's way stranger than that. They've had 60 years to figure out this human type BS. It's our turn now. It goes way down the rabbit hole. This UAP stuff that's happening right now is so overlaid with Bigfoot stuff that the UFOs that are seen when in the proximity of Sasquatch sightings is an absolute phenomena. But you guys don't know about it because these guys have lied to you since day one. Now, they've omitted stuff. To them, they haven't lied, you know, but it's a damn lie. And it's a not only a waste of time, it's just not helpful to these people that are legitimately traumatized by the phenomena. And I've met these guys and these ladies, and some of them become drug-addled, alcoholics, divorced, lose their job because of the fact that they have these hidden events. That's what Simeon Hine calls it, the Dr. Simeon Hine, who takes you down this, you know, this physics rabbit hole. Which really was started by, you know, Ron Moorhead, of course, of the Sierra Sounds, wrote a book called Quantum Bigfoot. But before him was Tom Powell, who was a science teacher in Gresham, wrote the book The Locals. And he was teaching his middle school classroom and science class about Bigfoot, just like you were talking about. There actually were science teachers in Portland, Oregon, teaching Bigfoot to children. So it does happen, but
in the wrong place.
Yeah, right. I didn't go to those classes either. We had future loggers of America. That's how backwards I was. we really did. But anyway, to get to your question, it is very murky. And, you know, Brett and Jill and Mike, they took the artistic challenge of making a film, but they added this depth to it and kind of like, you know, part two, it almost puts a spell on you the first 5 minutes. And that's what it's like to be in the company of this phenomena. It feels like that. That's why this movie's resonating. It feels like the first freaking 5 minutes.
So good.
Yeah, the movie just is amazing. And the complexities therein are, I would not shut up. I'm not going to lie. I would not shut up about this thing. She's because you guys lying. Do cover so much, especially in that physics area with the cloaking alone when they start talking about, I was still thinking there were three forms of matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it, you know, and when we really put our full, you know, we wrapped up A Flashy Beauty Bigfoot Revealed, we already had known that we needed to do a paranormal Bigfoot just because based on the division in the camp between the Abers and the Woo. Although we all love each other. We're just, some of us are just going in a different direction. But we knew that we needed to do one that stood alone, that gave the kind of attention the paranormal deserved. And at that point I knew in the back of my mind, I'm going, there is a science to this. And after reading Ron's book, Quantum Bigfoot, I was like, that's it. Ron's really kind of figured this whole thing out, and it's all connected. It's connected from, you know, it's connected to levitating monks, to UFOs, to Bigfoot, to whatever you want to call it, a miracle to a random person in a hospital bed. It's all part of this unseen universe and this unseen energy that exists around us. Mm-hmm. And these are beings, or they're people, or whatever you want to call them, that have figured out how to utilize this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're utilizing it through probably quantum mechanics, quantum physics. Mm-hmm. Newtonian physics does, or Newtonian science does not solve any of these riddles. Mm-hmm. And there are things that is readily known, and some of which is being taught in high school science classes about quantum physics, like quantum entanglement, you know, where you can have two molecules in two different parts of the universe, but if you stimulate one, the other one moves at the exact same time, which, you know, sounds like magic, right? Well, multiply those molecules, you know, by the trillions and you have a mass, you have a beast, right? Or something. And all of a sudden you're talking about frequencies and you're talking about vibrations and you're talking about, you know, things that are able to pass through solid objects. You know, there's many reports of alien abductees that have been abducted and have remember waking up flying through the roof of their house. There's been many reports of Bigfoot walking into trees. There's many people out there that believe that those trees recharge the Bigfoot. And this stuff to us common, normal 9-to-5 folks, it sounds absurd. It sounds crazy.
Right.
It sounds like magic. and it's like, it is. It's laughable because we can't wrap our heads around it. But when you get into the science of things, all of a sudden it starts to make sense. Mm-hmm. And you start to look at the elegance of the universe and you start to look at the simplicity of the universe. The universe isn't really all that complicated. It's infinitely complicated as it's infinitely simple. You know, like there's 92 atoms that make up every single thing in existence. 92 atoms. Mm-hmm. It's just a mixture. It's a recipe. This sweatshirt, my eyebrows, this computer I'm talking into, they're all a combination of 92 different atoms. So when you start thinking about in those terms, you're like, okay, if somebody had the power to manipulate that stuff over millions of years of evolution, then you're going to have some exotic things happen. And that's what we're witnessing right now, you know, but we're just not far along enough in our intelligence, I don't think, to really wrap our heads around it. So we say that it's fake, or we say that people are crazy, or, you know, but you can't deny the data. The data is the data. And the data says that there are tens of thousands of people around the world that have seen things that they can't explain. And you can't write all of them off. Even if you were to write 90% of them off, it still proves that this stuff is happening.
I don't know how recently, but they're like, you know what? Solid is not a thing. Solids don't exist. Yeah. Everything is everything. It's all energy. It's all, you know what? It's fine. We just got to figure out how everyone else is doing this stuff because we're a bunch of dum-dums. Okay, if you guys don't know the answer to this, this is fine. It just popped into my head. Like, is there a correlation from what? Like, is Bigfoot that can go through stuff and can whatever, solid, blah, blah, blah. Is there a correlation between that and stuff that they knew in Atlantis that they were so far advanced compared to where we are now? Am I just going off on a weird rant? Okay. Anyway, Jenny, do you have a question?
Well, let's circle back to that here. You know, because there seems to be this evidence of this, is it the Dryas impact theory, where every 12,000 years the Earth goes through a cataclysm? Mm-hmm. And so we see evidence of this, including Atlantis, right? Like there seems to be evidence of Atlantis. Periodically people make these claims and say, oh, this is Atlantis. People are taking that very seriously, by the way, and looking at Plato's claims. But if that's true, if every, let's say every 20,000 years, the Earth experiences a cataclysm, it's so vast, right? It's such a giant cataclysm, we can't even imagine it, because everything is buried probably under mud. Maybe hundreds of miles underneath us are civilizations. Mm-hmm. Some of those are flooded. Or split in half, or get eaten up by volcanoes. But all that knowledge is gone with them, right? And so who knows where they were? Who knows what technology they have? And, you know, we just had this interview with Henry Franzoni, who's a scientist, and this YouTube channel that we have called A Flash of Beauty, the podcast YouTube channel. And so Henry Franzoni does a confessional about what he knows about the secrets of Sasquatch, basically. And he calls them hillbilly scientists. And the reason being is that his claim is that they're the brains of the operation secretly. And we're kind of like the worker elves. We're doing the manufacturing. We're the inventors. But they're the consciousness. They're the keepers of the secrets. They're the keepers underneath us in the lava tunnels, which is a huge thing, right? Like, this is where Bigfoot lives, apparently, and most beliefs is that Sasquatch is underneath us in caves And we have lots of them out here in the Pacific Northwest. And Brett shows proof of that. In the Sistine Chapel, you see Sasquatch probably right over where the Pope's pulpit is, you know, coming out of caves. So this goes back way before the Native Americans. This is not an American story. This is a global story of a hidden relative of ours, apparently, underneath our feet.
You know what? We're going to take a real quick break and get back to that because I have a lot of things on that one.
Okay, my little darklings. I know. Just by looking at me, you think that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but three different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. Three apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about three, not one, not two, but three different subscriptions to three different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Oh, we're back, Jenny. What do you have to say?
Oh, I don't know. Something about the cave system. It's not like I've been, you know, expounding that. I think caves are super awesome and super neat. And when you go into them, you know something else is going on down there.
Agreed. They are super awesome and super neat.
And I have my own theory based on zero time in the field, by the way, except for maybe some visits to some caves that there's a whole lot of stuff going on in caves, including maybe Bigfoot's wandering around. But anyway, that's my own private theory. Again, based on not much. But you guys do in Paranormal Bigfoot talk about some of these historical stories, some of these artworks that I would never have connected, right? Like, we kind of have heard a lot about First Peoples stories and that sort of thing, but there's some pretty significant works of art that have tie-ins with Sasquatch. You mentioned the Sistine Chapel. Is there anything else that you can sort of expound upon there?
I think overall the collection of Native American art is the most significant. Mm-hmm. You know, because each tribe, virtually each tribe, I think each tribe, I'm not an expert, across North America has a Sasquatch figure, whether it's called Sasquatch or Sabe. Sasquatch originated, of course, from Southern British Columbia province. I can't recall the name of the tribe. But they all have depictions of some sort of Sasquatch. So whether it's their carvings into rock or their some of the outfits, that, you know, like the Kwakwaka'wakw. I can never say that name. Tribe in Southern BC who has these dancing, these ceremonial costumes. And the Sasquatch is the lowest part of the totem pole, which means the most important part of the totem pole is the lowest part. But those artworks are, to me, the most significant record that something has been with them, you know, whether it's been, whether the Bigfoot have been nefarious or they've been benevolent, who knows, but they've been with them for tens of thousands of years. And it's like, you know, there's a museum, thankfully, in Oregon that is now celebrating this fact and doing, they just opened an exhibit. We can't wait to go down to it. All about the Native American influence on.
Mm-hmm. And that one's in Bend. I think it gives a really appropriate kind of supernatural explanation, First Nations response. But just to bounce off what you're saying, too, I just went on ChatGPT to look up the history of the, you know, on the side of temples and churches, you'll see this motif of this man, usually with pursed lips. And so the whistling Sasquatch or the Tonequah is what they call this wild woman of the woods who lures children in with her whistling. And you see this motif in Celtic reliefs and Mesopotamia. It goes back to the Greeks and the Romans, back to the 12th century, and it's called the Green Man. And so what is the Green Man? Well, it's this man covered in foliage. It's kind of a wild man, right? And so this is part of the Bigfoot lore, but so are trolls. So are all of these creatures that live, you know, in the holes in the ground, under bridges, the story of the giant, the other. They go by different names, right? But these cataclysms, they wipe out history. They wipe out oral tradition. They wipe out, well, they wipe out written tradition, certainly, but oral tradition probably actually is more accurate. In some cases, I've heard from people that oral tradition is actually more accurate than written tradition, which is a strange thing. Anyway, it goes way back. Like, it goes, who knows how far it goes back? It could have been destroyed before the 12th century.
That was one of the most amazing parts to me, was just these things that you don't typically think of, you know, like I've loved Bigfoot for years, but also, you know, the fae and trolls and giants and just folklore in general, and I would have never connected.
Right. And there's been, I feel like, a lot of talk about, hey, maybe fae were actually aliens, but I had never even considered trolls and all the other stuff. Maybe that was Bigfoot. I love that.
Well, like ogres, right? Ogres come from the rocks. Yeah. And, of course, fairies and elves, they take very serious in Iceland. They move highways around places where the elves live in Iceland. Yeah. They're not really a mystery unless that's kind of like a lark, you know, for just tradition's sake. I don't think that's the case.
They
maybe
seem
it
to
is.
Take it very seriously very in serious. Iceland.
Yeah. I just had a conversation today with somebody in Baker City, Oregon, about the little people.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's something that keeps coming up with people that we speak with, whether they're native or not, the little people population. And for me, it's a little hard for me to wrap my head around it. I read years ago, I think it was on Reddit, must've been, I don't even know if it's the post is still up, but I read this story about these two kids. Well, they were adults now, but I mean, they're like in their 70s or something, but like back in the 1940s or whatever, they were playing around at a barn in Texas, and they heard some commotion, some dog barking and some whistling or something like that. And they ran around the corner and their dog was attacking a little person.
Oh.
And they freaked out and they were just going, they were going crazy because there was this like little person, this little human. we were told a story on the reservation that we were visiting about a woman who was beaten up and left for dead. Somebody had actually taken her, beat her to almost to the point of death and dropped her in the reservation to try and make it look like it was native caused.
Oh, horrible. Wow.
And she claimed that the little people found her and resuscitated her and brought her back to life over the course of 2 weeks. And they said to her, they said, "You are not to tell anybody, period."
Or she's misfortune. Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You will have misfortune like you can't imagine. And she went and I have not found the article, but I'm repeating the story ad nauseum or ad. you know what I'm saying? I'm repeating the story.
Yeah.
She told some reporters about the story and they published an article and it was like a few days after the article came out, she was killed in the head on.
Oh my God.
That did not end the way that I expected it to.
Wow. Luck, they came out of the left field with that one. Yeah.
That was it. And in the conversation I had with this guy earlier today about the little people, he told me the exact same thing. Not the same story, but the exact same thing about how if you talk about the little people, you will be cursed. Mm. And he didn't know this story. He had no idea about this story. You know, and then Elaine Miles.
Shut your mouth is what he's saying. What are you doing?
It's just like, yeah, so don't. If you and the other thing too is if you come across a little tiny house in the woods or something like that, you're supposed to be like, "Oops, I saw it," and then you have to come back with an offering of some sort.
I can get behind that. Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like baked goods would probably be the best way to go.
There you go.
Probably, yeah. A giant cookie that like it takes four. Of them.
Keebler.
Murphs.
It has to be
obviously.
Keebler.
Obviously.
Yeah. Right.
Keebler. We're in a tree. Come on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, Elaine Miles, who was on Northern Exposure, she played the Native American woman. I can't remember her name now. Marilyn Whirlwind. She played Marilyn Whirlwind. She was also in a show called The Last of Us that was out recently on Max. And we interviewed her, and she talked about the little people. Her interview's on her YouTube page. She had a little friend, you know, when she was a little girl. And her mom would give her grief because Elaine would bring out all the really good blankets for the for little friend. And her grandfather knew exactly what was going on and covered for her. It's kind of a neat story. Mm-hmm. But she had a Bigfoot sighting, and that's why we interviewed her. But that was the little people thing was kind of a side note. So, yeah, they're out there.
Now, do you find that with Bigfoot sightings and people who experience those things, the chances of them experiencing other sorts of entities or if it's the same kind of thing, does that go up?
High strangeness. You know?
Yeah, high strangeness. If you see Bigfoot, you're probably also going to experience a UFO at some point or a little person.
I don't know. It depends if you're marked. Some people seem to have a bullseye, and this phenomena attaches mainly on the mother's side, is what I think most people agree with, is that the mother carries the psychic ability more so. And so if your mom has had encounters or psychic, it may progress to the daughter or the son, but it seems to kind of go off on the mother's side more so than the father's side. So there's this overlap thing that happens with this phenomenon from little people to dogman to UFOs to demons, to portals, to attachments, to hitchhikers, to werewolves with fedoras on smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
what was the other one? Dino beavers? I mean, it goes way bonkers, right? And these are the stories that people obviously don't want to talk about too much, but this is the trickster. This is what the Native Americans have been saying since day one, is that these are tricksters. And they like to wear different costumes once in a while. Or, you know, what was it, Mos Eisley, when you walked in the bar there, you never knew who you were going to meet. You know, it may be Walrus Guy or Hammerhead or Greedo. You don't know what you're going to get. It's a box of chocolates, crazy ass chocolates. And you don't know what's inside that chocolate.
My favorite brand of chocolates.
Right, crazy ass chocolates.
Yes.
Right.
You forgot Snaggle.
Man, we could make $1 million with crazy ass chocolates. I know we could.
You got Hammerhead and Walrus Guy. Right. Delicious.
Yeah.
I would buy so many of those.
Right.
I'm your target audience.
So if you pursue this and you also are marked, if you're a marked person, like I think the property owner of the Al Moon Lab, the guy basically researched behind him because he was the attachment. He had had stuff since he was a kid. He lived in haunted houses since he was a kid. That's very rare, right?
Yeah.
And he would get feelings in his fingers. He would hold his three fingers together like that was his spidey tingle, that something was about to happen. And so if you pursue it and you have a target on you, it's just going to be game on. And it was just game on for us. So we're the extreme case in Flash of Beauty if you're nutty enough to pursue it. And then there's everything else in between, from the people that saw it for a second, from the people that were changed by the paranormal. And so that was the nice thing about the doc, is that it really hosts all different personality types, extreme ones to people that were very reserved.
Yeah. And just to add to that too, Tobe, as we showed in A Flash of Beauty, Paranormal Bigfoot, you find these knees and you cast these knees and the knees have hair samples. And Mel Scahan also talks about this too. In the first film, he finds these hairs in this nest. And then he gets into it in the second film about how, he doesn't. He gets into it on his YouTube interview. I'm sorry. He talks about having these articles that don't belong to him, even though they're hairs, kind of brings a curse, if you will, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened to Tobe and Daryl on Daryl's property. They bring the knees back. And it's like Tobe says in the film, it's like the gates of Valhalla have opened up. and it's like every man for himself, and the paranormal just goes completely crazy.
Yeah. It was more like the gates of Wally World. I should have said that instead. I definitely was Uncle Eddie in that case. And so, yeah, if you bring biologicals, right? Like, this is one of the things that they say, is that that's a big no-no with the First Nations people. People do it like I do it. I've got Bigfoot hairs in my closet back here. So it's just like, it's a thing that you want to do, is you want to bring back. They're like baseball cards. You collect Bigfoot prints. Oh, I've got this one. You got that one. We trade them. If you have like a really good one that you cast, that's a different story. Like, now you're a Bigfooter. Now you're like in the major leagues, right? You're casting prints. That's a different kind of Bigfoot researcher, experiencer. And Brett's well on his way.
In there, I've got some hydrogel and tools, thanks to this guy. But I haven't found a print yet. Not outside of the Al Moon Lab.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that go for a lot of like sacred places too? I know like a lot of the national park areas that were kind of founded around places that were historically more sacred. If you bring something back from that area, from that location, you're bringing back a whole lot of whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had people give back footprints to me. They didn't want them because their house was suddenly haunted.
Oh.
They had pictures start moving on the bathroom shelf on their own. And that never happened till T-Dog gave them a Bigfoot print. So I got one back the next day. And it's just one of those. These guys got a drum. The drum started rolling on its own because it had a Bigfoot logo on it. These are things that people have happen when they get involved with this. And it just starts with Bigfoot. It's everything in between. It's the UFO stuff does this. It's all of it, you know?
Do we know? Of course not. The connection between everything? Like, what? I tend to ask questions that have no answers. You're welcome.
This is good. This is good, Judge.
This is a box of chocolates right here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing here, is we're asking questions. No answers or difficult answers. And slowly but surely, we're chipping away. You know, it's like we've started off with this block of paranormal marble, and eventually we're going to end up with David, right?
Oh.
1,000 years from now, maybe. I don't know. But we're making progress.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask the questions.
But to ask Brett a question here, you know, Brett and I do quite a few podcasts together. Usually we do one a week or something in that realm, right? More lately. And I find myself here, Brett, and maybe you guys can bounce on this one here, is that I'm getting a little more frustrated waiting for these people to come forward, because I feel like there's a time to, you know, kind of gas the pedal a little bit, and then there's a time to floor it. I'm in the floor it mood right now. I'm a little PO'd.
I mean, how many hundreds of years has it been? It's we're moving fast right now.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Considering how much we've come in the past, I don't know, 20 years. Yeah, we're going fast right now. Okay. And I think that this year specifically, a whole lot of stuff is going to blow wide open.
Yeah. It does seem to be bubbling. Like everything in the paranormal world seems to be sort of bubbling up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I truly believe that as a society, we need to be mature enough in order to handle it. And many of us aren't. And they're cognizant of that because it's a collective consciousness and they're tapped in big time. I mean, we're kind of like at that age right now where our parents are going, is it okay to take you to an R-rated movie?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly where we are. It is not okay. Yeah. Do not do that. No. We are not mature enough for that.
Yeah. When you were a kid, the first rated R-rated
sell you some
movie. Oh my gosh.
Watch. You're like the whole 3 or 4 days, you know, you're at school. Mm-hmm. And you're like, so I saw this thing and it was like, people said this. And
right. You haven't lived till you sat through 9.5 weeks with your mom.
Oh, God.
Nope. No, thank you.
I mean, that's disclosure in a nutshell, right? It's 9.5 weeks.
Right.
When
right.
are we ready to watch The Exorcist? You know,
it's right, like, right.
but it's totally true because there are people out there. I have found that it's like my dad used to say. He was a door-to-door salesman in the 60s, and he would always knock on the door that had the sign that said no solicitors, and the person would be like, didn't you see the sign? And he would say, well, somebody had to have sold you the sign. You know, it's like the people out there that say they don't believe because they actually do, but the fear scares them so much of what might be possible that they're shutting it off. You know, Dr. Michael Adams talks about this to a certain extent. He's our psychiatrist who is, you know, Yale educated psychiatrist who's in the first film. He talks about how there might be a whole subset of society that have seen these things, experienced these things, but they suppress it to the point where years and years and years later, they're not sure if it really happened because they just can't deal with it.
Yeah. And you don't want to talk about it because you don't want to be ridiculed. And then you talk yourself out of it. There's no way I actually saw that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It must have been something weird.
It's scary. As humans, we want to think that we're at the top of everything, the food chain, the intelligence, everything. You know, we want to be the supreme beings. And the actuality of it is that we're not. We might be ants in an ant farm for all we know.
Well, and I think that takes a certain level of like having some experiences and just having some of those shifts and a certain level of, I don't know, spirituality around nature and things to understand that like, yeah, no, we're like this big.
Yeah. Tiny, yeah. And in my opinion, too, I think I'm not going to name names, but I think there's certain religious bodies that are doing the best they can to suppress these things, too. You know, out of either it's out of the betterment of their parishioners or it's to get more offerings. I don't know. I'm not trying to name any sort of specific religion, but I think it goes for a lot of them. It could be detrimental, you know, if all of a sudden we're cool with a Bigfoot that can do the same things that Jesus Christ did. That's an issue.
Well, it's a lot of fear based, you know, like,
yeah,
that's primarily what we do. Half of the things that we do is,
yeah. Yeah.
Based on a fear of something.
I feel like we don't have a lot of stories about violence in the Bigfoot stories. Are there a lot of documented violent encounters? Because I don't feel like I've heard any that
only
I believe.
Jerks.
And that Roosevelt guy, I don't believe that one. I think that was a bear.
Oh my God. I love that story.
Well, for the most part, Bigfoot is really benign. It's like teenagers coming to town. I mean, if they don't TP your house, but they damn near do. It's that kind of energy. It's like frat boy energy.
Oh, I don't like that.
Slapping the house at weird hours and kind of a little bit of property damage. But, you know, they're kind of like a feral person. Like, you can tell them to knock it off, and generally they do. And if they don't, then you put up lights and cameras, and then they really kind of don't come around because cameras are a big no-no, and that's probably a different podcast altogether why that would be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's violence, you know, because they seem to be a type of people. We don't really get into that in the documentary, but, you know, beyond speculation, there are reports of them traumatizing people, taking women and children. The Native Americans have, you know, they the Tonequah, which we talked about earlier, which is the whistling woman of the woods. And so Tonequah would take your children and throw her in her basket, and your children would disappear and she would eat them. And that was the bedtime story for the Native Americans up in the Pacific Northwest, north of us here. Now, was that to tell the children, hey, if you're out past, you know, the streetlights, it's time to get home. You don't want Tonequah to get you. Maybe. I don't know. The cannibal thing goes way back. It goes to Lovelock Caves in Nevada. The giant cannibals, they have six fingers. They have double rows of teeth, and they're redheads. So redheads definitely have more fun. Right.
What's more fun than having a little long pig? Come on, guys.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But I also want to, just kind of put out there too, that they, yes, they're like Tope said, they're just like people. They're, you know, and people are the most dangerous animal on the planet, hands down. And they can be the same way. Now, you know, we believe, and part of what we wanted to say when we first started doing these documentaries is that we believe that they're not all monsters. No offense to the name of your podcast, but they aren't. They aren't all monsters.
It's about people. Fact,
there was a post yesterday on our YouTube page from a man who claims that he was hitchhiking from Utah to Wisconsin. And he didn't say when this was, but he got stuck at the top of a mountain while he was hitchhiking, and it was freezing, and he was in like spring clothes. It was like October, early October. He noticed this, it started to snow. It was dark, and he noticed this, you know, light off in the distance. So he kind of found a place near the guardrail where he could kind of just try and just protect himself from the weather, some sort of shelter or something. And then he sees this figure in the distance kind of obscure the light. And the next thing he knows, he has this big hairy arm wrap around him and pull him close to the hair. And then you can read this on our YouTube page. And he wakes up the next morning and the thing is gone. And it has snowed 12 inches of snow at night. And there's a circumference of about 8 feet where there's no snow, where this being had protected this man all night long. Mm-hmm. And a semi-truck pulls up and the guy stops, the truck driver, and he looks down and he's like, get in the cab. And he says to the guy, he's like, you're dressed in spring clothing. What's going on? What are you doing up here? And the guy says, well, this Bigfoot thing. And the truck driver was astonished. And then he looked at him and he says, man, I wish I could take you back to my wife because I keep telling her that I'm seeing these things up here. She doesn't believe me. But that was the story that he left. And there's numerous reports of small children, some of which have been national news, that have disappeared, mm-hmm. 3-4 years old, that have come back and said, a big giant bear saved me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that, you know, most likely not a giant bear.
Right. No, I don't think it was a bear.
Small child, giant bear, probably not. I love
so there's a humanity to a lot of these Bigfoot. And as Tope can attest, and as we show in a paranormal Bigfoot, the gifting thing happens on a personal level. It's amazing.
It's so astounding. It's so cool. It's
They're trying. Some of them are trying to connect with us. They want to know. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff Rohn, who we interviewed on our YouTube channel, talks about one taking his finger in the middle of the night and kind of like she pressed like her cheek up against his cheek in a tent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some, there's definitely some beauty. I mean, that's where that's kind of where the title comes from.
Mm-hmm. Hairy beauty.
Hairy beauty. That's a website.
Right? Wait.
Yeah, that's my name in high school.
That's cool. Oh, my.
Sorry.
1986.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And with that, we got to close it up. I'm so glad that I got to end it on that. You guys, tell us everything that you want to promote. All this stuff will be in the show notes. But, go for it.
Okay, so real quick, we made this crazy decision to put this film, A Flash of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed, is now free. It's ad supported on our YouTube page. It's been out now for almost 2 years, and we decided
to put it. So all you people in the chat who are renting and buying it are chumps.
There we go. They can scan that too.
Oh no, that QR code has been deactivated.
Oh, it has.
Don't do that. Yeah,
sorry. That's
don't do that. That's all
right. Okay. We wanted to show you what not to do.
It was on Tubi in the past. It is no longer on Tubi, unfortunately. The quick 5-second explanation is that we have parted ways with our distributor, and we've been redistributing our film. It's a long story. A bunch of filmmakers in the genre have had to do the same thing with the same distributor. So the second film, A Flashy Beauty Paranormal Bigfoot, is currently on Amazon. You can stream it in HD for $3.99 or SD for $2.99. And I promise you, you will get your money's worth, unless you're like,
yes, you will.
Totally, yeah. Not into the subject matter, then it's just not for you. So that's the way you can watch both films. Now, this film on our YouTube channel may not be up there forever. We're just kind of experimenting with it. We want to get it out there. Because it's important for people to understand and know these things. So with that being said, go to our YouTube channel and you will also see the full length interviews. We've only cut out the questions and the pauses and anything not related to that interview. We've tried to keep these interviews as raw as possible. And we're trying to drop one at least one or two a week. And it's like, if you are looking for Bigfoot information and Bigfoot stories, this is your repository. Anything and everything is there. We're trying to get the truth out as much as possible.
Go watch these things. They're amazing documentaries. Even if you aren't specifically interested in the subject matter, they're beautifully shot and they're very, very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. I know. I was going to have something else to say.
Regular Siskel and Ebert here.
Yeah.
There you go.
Toby, you have anything else you want to get out there?
Well, we just sold out of this camp out. It was called Olympic Strange Days. And this was a way for people to go in the woods for 4 days from some of the be with the cast and the crew from A Flash of Beauty. So that just sold out. But maybe down the road, there might be some tickets available. So just pay attention to the YouTube channel. And if you want to experience A Flash of Beauty, you might be able to do it in the woods with these crazy guys.
Is there a wait list? Because I know someone who might want to get on that wait list.
I know. And just saw it and it was sold out. And then I was like, oh,
that's bad. It's not going to be the only one that happens. If this goes well, then we'll just keep doing them every year. And so we'll see what happens.
You guys, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It went by fast. Appreciate it.
It does. It always does.
Yeah,
it
really you guys does. Are great. I have like a whole thing of stuff that I want to talk about.
Yeah,
we can go back.
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, you're going to have to.
Yep.
Everybody else, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and review and stuff. Okay, bye.
Adios. Good night. Bye-bye.